The following podcast is a part of RadioMisfits.com.
Hello, and welcome to Misfits Making It. We're oddballs, and we're doing cool stuff. I'm your host, Lauren Logiudice. This is the podcast version of the comedy shows I host around New York City and the road, the Misfit Variety Show, and all the shows at the Capiche Club Misfit Comedy Space down in Little Italy. So how's it going? What's up in your Misfit world? I've been getting ready. April 11th, I'm kicking off the United States of Misfits tour. We're going to Chicago, Kalamazoo, Detroit, Denver, and where am I missing anything? And Indianapolis. It's going to be fun and a lot, just going to be great. I'm looking forward to connecting with fellow Misfits on the road. So if you were there or you know someone else, please do send the word or connect me online. I'd love to hear how things are going for other weirdos in other parts of the country, because we're about to get into an election cycle and things are going to get more and more stressful. Even if we try to like ignore the news, it's still going to like filter down to us, and all the anxiety around us will affect us. So, man, love to connect and commiserate with other folks on the road. So let me know. Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, Denver, Chicago. I said that first. Chicago, Detroit, Indianapolis, Denver, Kalamazoo. There we go. Man, it's a lot to organize. Okay, great. And today we're going to go into our Misfit Melodrama episode, which are mini episodes with other comedians in which we respond to audience submitted stories. I'm going to mention it in the interview. And now you can submit your story by calling 646-WANG-0X1. We'd love to have it. Before we go into it, I have a reminder. Please rate and review this podcast, because Misfits trust other Misfits to know what's good. So let them know. You can also sign up for monthly updates at laurenlogi.com, and you could consider sponsoring a podcast. We make it accessible for individuals or companies. If we get more sponsors, we'll do this more often. Go to laurenlogi.com, click on listen and podcast, and contact us there. Today, we're going to bring on comedian Billy Procida, who is a comedian and producer out of New York City. He produces the Man Whore podcast, a series of conversations that are sex positive, and he also hosts the Naked Comedy Show, which I hope to be on sometime. I can't wait. That would be so fun and liberating to just literally take it all off and give it to the audience. So let's get right into it. Misfit Melodrama with Billy Procida. Well, welcome, Billy Procida, to Misfits Making It.
Thank you for having me.
Misfit Melodrama episode. Cool. Tell us a little bit about you before we get into the melodramatic misfit tree of it all.
My name is Billy Procida. I'm a comedian. I also host the Man Whore podcast, which is a series of sex positive conversations I've been doing for over 9 years. And I'm also the producer behind the Naked Comedy Show out in New York City.
Hell yeah.
Which is exactly what it sounds like.
So to be clear, is it the audience also getting naked, or is it just the comedians?
Is clothing optional for the first two rows of audience?
Only the first two rows?
Yeah, we actually had to enforce it for the first time last night. It was very interesting. Like, I'm on stage, and like, so this is like towards the middle back third of the show. There was a man who had taken his shirt off at some point in the far, far back row, dead center. I can see him, but he's only got his shirt off. Whatever. Okay. And then like later I come back on and he's like full. I say something about him being shirtless and somebody else is like, nah, he's fully naked.
But why? Yeah.
I'm like, okay. Well, yeah, because we said and this was a guy who was clueless because he like didn't realize it was BYOB. He had trouble finding the address. This is just someone who doesn't read stuff, anything. And so he did. He must have missed, I don't know how, the whole first two rows part. So like mid show, he just got fully undressed. But he was cool about it because I said he stand up. He thought that was fun. And I go, dude, you can't be naked back there. So he's like, you got to put pants on or you got to move to the front row. And he just moved to the front row.
All right.
I've never had to reposition an audience member based on their nudity.
But why can it only be the first three rows? Why can't it just be everyone?
Yo, because that's where I can see you. That's I don't need a dude in the back, like maybe trying to sneak a jerk in. Like if you tried to touch yourself in the front two rows, like we'll fucking notice the lights on you, you know?
Right. It's,
so that's why I have that little.
Right. That we little don't rule. Want the random. That's what that gets. The random.
Nice drop. Nice drop.
All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, that's good. Yay. We love you making sure no one's jerking and that also gets a clown horn. Thank you for that. Okay. So now we're going to start into our mission. Sure. We have audience submitted stories. If you too would like to submit a story, you can leave a voicemail at 646-WANG-0X1. And I didn't request that. It's just what I had to do. When you get the zeros and the nines, you have limited options.
Wang one.
Wang, don't wank it.
Wang one.
Not wank.
That just sounds like a fighter pilot in the Star Wars porn parody.
Yeah, that's right. Or one of Elon Musk's kids' names or something. So, all right. Well, so, and to be clear, I always have to mention this and emphasize that we are laughing with you. We'll be riffing about how we are just as crazy and fucked up. So this is punching to our face instead of punching to our face. Punching to our face. Okay. All right. I'll do one and then I'm going to bring on Carmella, your favorite. Okay. So what's your craziest and most unforgettable family experience you've ever had? It could be a holiday reunion or other event where your family was together. This person says, I once worked at a school in New York City where I met someone from my hometown in the Dominican Republic. We jokingly would call each other cousins. Fast forward about 10 years later, 23andMe revealed we are actually cousins.
Okay.
All right. I think that's really sweet.
Did they bang before or after they found out they're cousins? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, that's where we got to get to. Like, did they met someone and we call each other cousins, which means you feel a connection. So that's my question. See, okay, I have a lot of siblings because I found out I was a sperm donor kid, right? So I have about 15 plus, there's more siblings I don't know about, but I do know siblings. And what is amazing about those relationships is that sex is off the table. I mean, it could be on the table if I was into that, but I'm not into that. So it's like nice to have a relationship with another person that just for me cannot be sexual.
Well, I just mean like, I feel like normally the way that story goes is like, I met someone, we fell in love, we started doing this, then we thought, oh, let's do 23andMe, and then you find out you're cousins. That's like the traditional version of that story I was raised
right with. And are they editing it? Well, I guess my question is, so like in my head, like these relationships can't be sexual if like you're my cousin or you're my sibling. However, if I didn't know that through DNA testing and I just felt a bond, like, would I be like, I need to bang you because you we have this connection?
You might. I think that's very much a possibility because you don't know.
It's wild.
You don't know.
Billy, that means I have more of a chance of I'm spoken for, but if not, I have more of a chance of banging a sibling than any other person because I would feel a bonded to them if I didn't know they were my sibling.
Well, I mean, but that, well, then we get into like, do you feel that bond with someone that you're related to, even if you don't know that? Do you feel that just inherently or not? I think not, but like maybe also. I haven't had a long lost sibling before. I haven't been in one of those cool documentaries, so I can't really comment too much. But Three Identical Strangers was a mindfuck.
I don't know.
Do you see that? That was some evil, evil shit.
It's some crazy stuff. It goes, it's just like but there are people in this world you do feel connected to. And I do not have conclusive evidence to say, like, my feeling of bonding with my siblings is non-sexual because of knowing the context. And could that have easily gotten messed up in my head if I knew the context?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, what you don't, if you meet like a sibling that you don't know is a sibling, you don't know that they're a sibling. Therefore you might do things. It's just, that's all that social construct is what tells you, ooh, actually you're not supposed to do this. And that's when you feel shame about it. You don't,
I think they definitely banged. That's the conclusion.
It's been a while since did you see the documentary with the guy, the doctor who was just submitting his own sperm to like all those people?
Yeah.
I forget. Was
nightmare.
There are no good genetic documentaries. There are no documentaries about finding some long lost whoever. It's never a good story. It's always bad. Right. There's always death or, swindle or some sort of trauma in like all of those.
I wish they would do it because I had a story. They don't show the good stories and how many people don't give a fuck. And that's what's interesting about all this stuff about people talking about these reproductive technologies and the kids that come out of it. I'd say out of 15 siblings, I'd say 13, they never suspected and they like didn't give a shit. Like 12, okay. 12 don't really care. And a lot of them, once they find out, they move on. Like people just, yeah. It's interesting.
Why recomplicate my life and my will, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And so like people like, so the genetic documentaries cling to like the stories, but most people just don't care. I think it's
well, also no one would care about the happy one. Like the happy story can be a segment on the Today Show. You get like 3 minutes and 17 seconds. That's what we'll commit here. But like nobody wants to watch an hour and a half documentary of like, oh my God, and now everyone's lives got better. Like there has to be attention.
Right. Right. That's what I had.
The only way you could have that loving genetic rediscovery doc is if they are banging. That's the only one you can do. Otherwise just be born. There'd be no tension in this narrative.
Oh my God. They would do that documentary and then get offered so much money to do porn. They would clean up on the porn circuit.
On the underground black market porn circuit, yes.
Right, like I know about how that business works, but
Yeah, it's very step heavy these days. That's what the credit card processors want. That's what the credit card processors are gonna get.
Well, I have heard that. Everyone's like, every porn's about like a step dad situation, step sibling situation. I'm like, okay.
I saw one that was step grandma, step mom, and step daughter. I'm like, that I don't think is possible. No one's related to anybody in all of this. That seems implausible.
Oh,
how many of your like former in-laws or whatever do you want to be hanging out with?
Yeah, that's true. That never happens. Everyone hates each other. Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, you can do the one mode of separation, but you can't be going like, somebody has to be connected to someone.
Oh, but I thought in those porns, they were actually genetically related, and that was the fun part, like somehow.
So what happens, credit card processors are the ones who dictate a lot of the standards these days in pornography. So at some point, literally a boardroom of dudes, or mostly dudes, actually decided like, yeah, we're not going to process payments for like actual incest fantasy porn, but step sibling incest fantasy, that's okay. I mean, these are the same group of people who have to decide like, so are we processing payments for like when you pee on someone during sex or versus videos of her peeing, but not on someone. And then there's some who are big prudes and like, no pee at all. Right? These are actual decisions that get made at a boardroom table.
That's wild. Do they ever give a shit about women, violence against women?
No, that's, you can still charge. They'll still process payments for that. Still do that.
They're like, sure, revenge porn or whatever shit I hear.
Out in the UK, like, I don't know, this is probably coming up on like 8, 9, 10 years ago, they passed like a sweeping like fucking porn regulation bill. And so there's types of porn that you weren't allowed to do in the UK. And one of them was face sitting.
What?
You know, the thing where it's pleasurable for her.
Yeah.
And so they staged a face sit in on the steps of Parliament.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Hell yeah.
Anyways.
That's so cool. What a bunch of prudes.
I could talk porn policy all day, but I know that's not why I'm here.
Well, it's interesting. Très intéressant, peu nu. Everyone else has their questions. If you have another question for Billy, leave a voicemail at 646-WANG-0X1.
WANG-0.
WANG-0X1. Wow. That is fascinating. I have to say, I did not know all of that. I lived in San Francisco, so I knew lots of porn stars. My friend was dating the kink porn, one of the biggest kink porn stars at the time. And so it was great. We'd love over dinner conversation. It would be like, she'd be like, I'm directing a porn tomorrow. Like, should I start off with like fisting or whipping? You know, like, what am I feeling? It was great.
And you obviously start with the whipping over fisting. You always work up the fisting.
Yeah.
Well, if you start with fisting, where do you go from there?
Right.
You know, you just go to, you go to double fisting. And then when you go, if you go too early on double fisting, what's left? Four fists, I guess.
A horse.
I've seen that though. I've seen three fists in one butthole. It was on New Year's Eve. It was wild. They were trying to like loosen her up to be able to fit the bottom side of an extra, extra large champagne bottle so that she could pour us New Year's champagne.
Wow.
Millimeters away from getting
it
in.
So you,
we watched.
Wait. So you watched this live?
Yeah, there's a play party I was at on New Year's Eve, and it's like 5 a.m. So the party, like it was 4 a.m. Party ends at 5. So like, well, we're going to start warming her up. And so first fisting, and it's quickly double fisting. Then it's like they had to get another person, be like, yeah, you throw your fist in too. Because they're just trying to loosen her up for the bottom of this bottle. And I watched them loosen her up for like an hour.
Wow.
And then they tried to get the bottle in and just like just barely wouldn't get there. But hey, New Year's resolutions, right?
Another question about porn. Wait, not did I have other questions? I'm not sure. But one question I have right here for porn. So the revenge porn, can you do like a la carte? Can you be like, I have this girlfriend and she pissed me off, so I'm going to make a revenge porn thing and I can contact a company, like they'll take requests and I'll be like, this is what she looks like, get an actress who looks like her and do the XYZ for me.
Oh, that's not what revenge porn is. That's what revenge porn should be.
Right.
Revenge porn should be ordering customs to therapeutically get over an ex, where you hire like actor who looks like her or him or
it's
whoever.
A great thing. Yeah.
That's an ethical revenge porn, but you know, revenge porn is just, you know, releasing old
sex tapes. I think that's a good business idea.
I do too. I think that's what revenge porn should be. That's what it needs to, we need to get rid of what revenge porn is now and then slowly work it. So revenge porn is a thing that's acceptable and that you're allowed to do because it's not actually using any images of your ex. You're ordering a very expensive video made to get over.
There's so many rich people. I feel like definitely someone would do that. Someone would order that. Be like, and also just maybe a kink or an, for you as a, maybe you're a voyeur and you would just love to like be able to custom make a request to porn. Mm.
Yeah, I'd probably want like a POV style thing, like shooting boring missionary POV so I can like look into her eyes like one more time while watching the video.
Aww.
Yeah, so I can always cry and come at the same time. Yeah.
All right, let's bring Carmela out here just one for one question. Hi, Billy. Okay, all this porn stuff, interesting. Hasn't been interesting. None of that realm is really interesting to me, but I hear my gay nephew talk about it, and I find it fascinating. I haven't touched my husband since 1972. Okay. So I'm in from Boca Raton, Florida, by the way. I'm hurrying as I come in. I'm very entertaining, Billy. Okay. All right. So next thing. Okay. So listen, this is the next story. Prima was giving me Mal de Ojo at our Ablietto's burial, and I noticed, I motioned to her, did she want to go next?
Giving mouth to what?
That's
what?
Mal de Ojo, you know, the thing where they say like, you're next.
Mouth to Ojo. Okay.
It's a sign thing, I think.
What's an Ojo? Is that a person?
Mouth to Ojo. I don't know. Ojo.
She was giving mouth to a man named Ojo?
She was giving him a sign, like giving him the evil eye. And then she said, yeah. He said, yeah, you want to go next? That's pretty intense.
Okay.
That's intense. I don't know what to say to that. I'm not messing with that. Yeah. Okay. Not going to that funeral. It's also, it's a little bit of... Who was this person too? Was it a Prima? It was just a name of a person. I don't know. Crazy. That's like that's a setting for a soap opera, a telenovela, like something that would happen.
That was more of a trailer for the story we were supposed to get told as opposed to the whole story getting told.
Right.
I don't have enough information, but I want to know more.
I feel like these people leave little drips and drabs and we want the main course. So we might be calling you. Leave your number back. We'll call you for the calling you. Okay. Here's another one. Oh dear. My cousin made a pipe bomb thinking it would be win the love of a woman.
Wait, sorry. What?
He made a pipe bomb, thinking it would win the love of a woman by diffusing it. And when it exploded, he was the only one injured.
That's a real story that happened in the 70s, I think.
Who was that?
I think that's like happened before, where like people have like, I also might be making this up, but I might have seen this in a movie. Really? No, I might have. This might have just been an acid dream of mine once. We got from reality to a blurt real quick, but that's wild.
An acid dream. Was that an ass dream when you saw the fisting?
Hey, okay. Florida ass. Hey.
All right. So, okay.
Guys, what did, but I, did they work out? That's what I need to know.
That's right. Think it would, did it actually get win the love of the woman, or she was like, "You're a psycho. I am running from okay, you as fast if, as I can."
If he built a pipe drum to win her over, there's a good. I would hope that she gave some sort of signal that she could maybe be into a guy who made a pipe bomb. Like maybe they were hanging out at a party one time. She's like, "Man, I just sometimes wish a man would make a pipe bomb for me." Then, yeah, then I mean, she's wild. But if she's given no indication, what a crazy individual man.
That guy is, I don't know. It's like, you know, he's, if they're going to like you, they're going to like, at a certain point, you got to just say, you don't like me and you got to move on.
Yeah. It's like, I want you to like me for me, not the pipe bombs I make.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's all not like, but the cyanide I manufacture in my basement. I mean, like, what are you doing?
Yeah. But it's like, do you even like my personality or do you just like how I right. work with wires?
Yes. Do you find me explosive? Okay. All right. All right, Billy, it's been real. It's martini time. I'll talk to you soon. Good to see you. Good to meet you.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Thanks for having me. Okay. All right. Wow. Okay. She's pouring her martini. She's ready. It's martini. She requests we do the podcast at a certain time so she can dip into her martini.
Oh, that's very convenient and thoughtful.
What can I say?
Yes.
I'm a good niece. All right. So Billy, where it's been so fun, so brief. Where can we come find you?
I thought the podcast was over for a moment. I thought that was the end of the
Carmel just like, kind of dropped out. The mic. But
people can find me wherever they do their social media stuff, Billy Procida, Procida, or check out the Man Whore podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. And the Naked Comedy Show returns to Bushwick October 20th and December 1st. And you can sign up for updates on that in the links in my bios.
All right. Super fun. Thank you for joining us, Billy.
Thanks.
Well, there you have it. You can follow the podcast on my page at Lauren Logi. Updates and inside info on my email list, LaurenLogi.com. Thank you to Annie McCutcheon for editing, Edward Silla at Radio Misfits Podcast Network, and Maddie McLennan for making the podcast art. Thanks to our listeners for bringing us back for another season. We'll see you soon.
The preceding was a presentation of the Radio Misfits Podcast Network. Find our other great shows on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and at RadioMisfits.com. Thank you.
Thank you.